we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and you know that there's always a lot of names on our prayer focus. And allow me to add a couple of more for us this morning that you can either write down or please remember throughout the week in prayer. Number one that I've been told about this morning, Ruth Richmond, that's Herb's mother. She's in her upper 90s. She's not doing well this morning at all. Please remember Ruth also. Margaret Montgomery, who is normally here with us, is not doing well. Roddy Sams, a lot of you know Roddy from the area, fell off a roof and is in the St. Cloud Hospital. And so there are many besides those on our prayer focus. I think we should just take a couple minutes to close our eyes, and you can pick a name off there or one I've just mentioned or something else that you is heavy on your heart. I think we should just take a couple minutes and bow before the Lord and pray. So let's do that now. Father, thank you that we can come together to worship you this morning. Thank you that we have the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you answer prayer. Thank you that you're working in places where we don't see. You're working in ways that we don't know about. We thank you, Father, for all of the folks that are on our prayer focus and these others that I have just mentioned. We know that you are at work in their lives, and we would just ask that you continue to be with them. Whether they have lost their loved ones, or whether they are in the very sunset of life, or whether they're very young, very sick, hurting, or whatever else, Father, we lift them up to you this morning and pray thy will be done. We pray again, Heavenly Father, for the devastation around America. We pray that we, brothers and sisters in Christ, and millions others would come alongside them in prayer and physical ways to lend aid and a helping hand to show the love of Jesus. We pray, Heavenly Father, that even through difficulty and devastation, that people would come to you. I pray this morning again, Heavenly Father, that as churches, yes, the two services here, but as churches all over our communities and America and the world gather, that you alone would be glorified. It's not about a denomination. It's certainly not about a pastor, a priest, a deacon, or a leader. It's about you. And I pray that as we come together this morning, we would hear from you. We have come to worship you. And so we desire, we long to hear from you. Speak to our hearts, and as Jesus said so many times, let he that has ears to hear, let him hear. We want to hear from you this morning, Lord. And so as we have come today, you know the burdens we carry, you know the difficulties, you know the strain, you know the stress, you know the heaviness, you know the joys. We have come in all these fashions this morning, and yet that's not too overwhelming for you. You can meet us where we're at. You can minister to us. You want to forgive. You want to save. You want to redeem. You want to the church to make disciples. And so, Father, as we have gathered this morning, may it be all about you. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Before I ask you to turn in your Bible to the scripture that we're going to look at this morning, I want to say a word about missions. Every now and then we hear from missionaries here. I think it's very good for us to be missions-minded. And we have a very unique opportunity next July to send some of our young people on a missions trip. Now, that may not excite you, but that excites me because it gives our young people an opportunity to minister to needy folks. Now, this particular missions trip is going to Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And so we would like, I'm speaking to parents now, and some of our teenagers all know about this, and some of them are wrestling with, well, do I go, do I not go? I want to assure you, if and when you choose to go, it will be a life-changing event. Why? Because ministering to people that are far less well-off than we are does something to us. And yes, God calls missionaries to be missionaries across the water, around the globe. He does. But He also calls us to be missionaries at home. And this is an opportunity, not only do we have opportunities every day where we live, but this is an opportunity for our young people to go together with a very reputable organization for a week to southwest South Dakota and minister to the very, very needy there. And I want to encourage you parents, if you've thought about this or not, and you have a teenager and they're thinking about that, encourage them. It will be a good experience for all of us. And when they come back, they can tell us how it has changed them and moved them. So if you have questions, you can talk to Craig Weigel or Tim and Jess. They know a lot more about this than I do. I'm just here to say to you, missions is good for us, and when we get a chance to actually do it, it's really good for us. Amen? Okay. The reason I'm bringing that up today, you say, well, that's next July, so what? Those that are going to go have to submit their commitment $50 very soon. That's why I'm speaking about it today. And so please be in prayer about that. Okay. Urgent Times, Part 3. I have entitled this Natural or Unnatural Disaster. Now I realize when we live in the comforts of central Minnesota, some won't think it's that comfortable about 2 months from now, but it's really pretty comfortable here. I realize when we live far, far away from hurricanes and earthquakes and seemingly natural disaster, it's easy to not really be engaged because we're not there and we haven't been through it. And I also realize that we should not take liberty to critique those situations and how people are doing or what they're doing, except for the evangelism, that kind of stuff. That's kind of critiquable. But so what I'm saying here today is I'm not in any way, shape, or form critiquing or judging anything that has happened in these natural disasters that have wiped out so much stuff. But I am going to speak very specifically about what I think some natural disasters are. Most of us, if you were driving around any place wherever you live, on Monday there were flags flying and there were firefighting trucks out and there were signs up that said things like "We will never forget." That was an unnatural disaster 16 years ago. Some of you weren't even born then. Some of us remember it like it was yesterday. And now, just these last couple of weeks, we've seen Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, and others have been in the Caribbean, done not as much damage, but these two particularly have changed the lives of thousands, and in some cases, it changed their lives forever because there has been loss of life. These hurricanes have also, and the fires in the west coast of our nation too, and in the mountains, have altered things dramatically. And so these seemingly natural disasters have dramatically altered the way many will have to live from this point forward. Natural disasters are nothing new to us. Fires, floods, earthquakes, volcano eruptions, tsunamis happen. We know that. We've seen it, and they will continue to happen. But what I am going to invite us today to think about is, and listen to me now, I'm going to read some scripture from Amos. If you've got your Bible, that's where we're going. The book of Amos. That's in the second half of the Old Testament. I'm going to read some scripture today and ask us to think through the possibility that maybe, I know this is dangerous ground, I know this is thin ice, but I'm going to ask us to think about maybe some of these, what we would say, natural disasters are orchestrated. And or at a minimum, allowed by our Creator God. Why? To bring humanity to a place of calling out to Him. I know that's a dangerous suggestion, because even while I had this thought on my mind, Kirk Cameron, a lot of you know Kirk Cameron, right? No, you don't. Mercy. Yes, thank you. Somebody does. Kirk Cameron, who is a very outspoken Christian, who's also a movie star, suggested prior to Hurricane Irma tearing up through Florida, he made just slight mention on his Facebook page that perhaps this was God's trying to get our attention. He suggested that perhaps this could be a possibility. And in so doing, within the next 2 or 3 days, he got 3,000 responses. 2,000 of them were blasting him for such a suggestion and or blasting God for even thinking about such a tragedy on humanity. So I know this is a dangerous suggestion. I get that. But I want to show from you, I'm not saying, let me say this up front and I'll say it again later, I'm not saying that these hurricanes are, I'm not saying they are not orchestrated by God. I am saying He has done these kinds of things before to get the attention of humanity. Somewhere around 760 BC, there was a shepherd, sheep breeder, by the name of Amos, from a little old place called Tekoa, which is right beside Bethlehem if you're looking on your maps. Around 760 BC, when the nation of Israel had decided, we don't really need God, we can do things on our own. And so God was calling prophets. Isaiah was one of them about that time. Amos was one of them, to proclaim a word from the Lord to the people. And so the sheep breeder's name was Amos. And the main word that God gives to Amos for the entire region, not just Judah and Israel, which he addresses specifically, but when you start in chapter 1, he addresses the entire region, and the theme is judgment. You can read it. If you've never read Amos, I'd encourage you to do that this afternoon. It's only about 8-9 chapters. It won't take you long. But in the first chapter, you're going to see judgment on the nations that are surrounding Israel. And on the second and third chapters, you're going to see pronouncing judgment on Israel. And in the fourth chapter, which we are going to turn to now, is elaborating on what led up to this impending judgment. There's some events, I call them warning signs, to get their attention to repent and come back to God. In other words, God was about to address the sin of the nation, and He gave them opportunity to come back to Him. That's what we're going to read about in chapter 4. And so I draw our attention to chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. This is God's word through the prophet Amos, to the northern tribes. Verse 6. Also, God says, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Let me just say, cleanness of teeth does not mean He sent them to the dentist. Cleanness of teeth means you've got nothing to eat, so there's nothing stuck between your teeth. That's what it means. And when He says, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all of your cities and lack of bread in all of your places, it's because He orchestrated famine where there was no food to eat. And then He follows up with that and said, but you have not returned to Me. I give you this warning sign, but you have not returned to Me. And then He said, I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. Now, anybody in the time and the nation of Israel would know there is a rainy season. You get the crop in, there is a rainy season. There is another dry season. It's during this dry season you get the crop back out. They put the crop in the ground because the rain season is coming. And God said, I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. That typically would be the rainy season. I made it rain on one city, God said, and I withheld the rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. And yet, He said, even though I sent you these warning signs too, He said, yet you have not returned to Me. Now, let me interject here a little bit from Deuteronomy 28, just to remind us that when Moses gave the law to the Israelite people back in those early chapters, one of the things that he said very, very clearly over and over and over, but specifically in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he said, obey Me and be blessed. Disobey Me and be cursed. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy 28. And around verse 15, you got 14 or 15 verses of the blessings of God if we will simply follow Him and obey. And we've got from 15 to 68 or something like that in the chapter of curses if we won't. They knew about these curses, and in those curses there is famine, there is blight, there is mildew, there is people from other lands coming to strike them. All of these things were there, and they knew if they were not obedient to God, there would be repercussions, there would be curses orchestrated by God. And so when Amos passes on to these people, you didn't have anything to eat because I caused a famine. You didn't turn to Me then. You didn't get a decent crop because I withheld the rain. You didn't turn to Me then either. And so God, in essence, is saying through Amos, I have sent you warning signs, and yet you're not returning to Me. Verse 9. I blasted you with blight and mildew. When your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees, the locusts devoured them. At their prime, when they were ripe, He said, your olives were about to bear, your figs were about to bear, things were looking good, and I sent the locusts to devour them, but you haven't returned to Me, says the Lord. I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Now we would say, well, what in the world does that mean? Because there was 10 plagues in Egypt. Look at what He says. I sent to you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with the sword. Now it is getting serious. You didn't listen to Me when I withheld rain. You didn't listen to Me when I sent plagues among your produce. You didn't listen to Me when and return to Me when I sent famine amongst you. And then He said, I also sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. I was trying to get your attention. And what manner of plague to Egypt was that? Your young men I killed with a sword, along with their captive horses. I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils, and you still have not returned to Me, says the Lord. I overthrew some of your cities, marring bands from around you. I sent them to overthrow some of your cities. He says in verse 11, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. Now we can call everything in this chapter bad luck. We could do that. We could call this last summer in the mountains of this beautiful nation, the beautiful mountains and the burning and the great state of Texas, Louisiana, Florida. We could call that just bad luck, I guess, if we wanted to. We can call these just circumstances. We can do that for the things that happen around the globe. Earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes. We can call it bad luck and we can call it circumstances if we want to. I suppose we could really go out on a limb and we could even call it global warming. Or, may I humbly suggest to us, we can look to the author of life, the originator of this planet, and all the rest of the planets, the one who calls the wind and the rains into order, and we can cry out to him and repent and look to him for direction and hope. Again, I will say, I'm not saying these hurricanes are, and I'm not saying they are not of God. I am saying these kind of things have happened before as a wake-up call to the nation of Israel. Wake up, O Israel, and come back to me, was the message of God. And after about so many wake-up calls, he said, prepare to meet thy God. I think that we, humanity, would do well to stop thinking that we are in control and start realizing it may be because of our total indifference to the Almighty that some of these things are happening. We have thrown him out, God I'm speaking of everything imaginable. We have been noted around the globe because I have talked to people around the globe as one nation under God, and yet as a nation, in so many instances, we have turned our back on God. Amos said in chapter 5, verses 4 through 8, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Warning signs to humanity. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. I'm in chapter 5, 4 through 8. For Gilgal will surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. What he's saying is, stop trying to do things your own way because it's not going to work. Seek the Lord and live, he emphasizes again. Unless he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood, I'm on verse 7 of chapter 5, and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. He, O God, it is he who made the Pleiades and the Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes day dark as night. Listen to me now. It is He who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. We're not in control. No matter what we try to do to offset disaster, whether it be drought or pestilence or anything else, we are not in control. I humbly suggest today that we, especially who name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and repent and say, "What do you want us to learn from this, O God? What do you want us as a nation to learn from this?" Now I know that we can get mad because I saw a few of the responses to Kirk Cameron when he suggested this idea that perhaps this is some kind of judgment. We can get mad, we can shake our fists at God, and we can stay mad, but that will change nothing. We can say, "If that's how you are, oh God, I'm not having anything to do with you." I have heard people say that, and people have said that in response to these disasters. We can do that. That will change nothing. Or we can recognize, as He was calling out to Israel to do, to recognize that sin has taken hold of you at the very core of your lives, and we can repent of our sin, and we can run back to the Father, and we can call out to Him in repentance and surrender and faith, and allow Him to lead us as an individual, as a church, as a city, as a family, and as a nation back to Him. I would suggest the latter would be better for us. Now let me say, I'm going to invite our praise team to lead us in a song here in just a minute, but let me say one more thing before I close. I want to sing that song that we sang third earlier today. And I want to give you an opportunity while we're singing that song to come to the altar and pray, or come and I will pray for you. But here's what I'm going to say next. Sometimes hard things happen in our lives as individuals as well as nations. We just saw it from Amos. Sometimes those hard things are in an effort to bring us to God. I had a chance to sit with Roy and his brother and his brother-in-law and several people at a funeral here just the other day, and we were talking about difficulty in our lives. And I have seen, brothers and sisters, over and over and over, when tragedy is striking or at the door, people come to faith in Christ. I have seen over and over and over, in the 11th hour of life, people dying of cancer or whatever else, but they recognize it for perhaps the first time ever, "I guess I'm not in control." And I have seen God bring good from difficulty over and over and over again. Now, I don't know what you're experiencing today, but some of you are experiencing hard times. I know that. Some of you have been there, some of you are there, some of you will be there. We can shake our fist at God and say, "If that's how you are, I'm done with you." I know people that have done that. Or we can call out to Him in humble surrender and say, "Father, I need You. Jesus, I need You. Forgive me of my sin. I've been doing things my own way, and I need You." You see, we have a choice, friends. Just like the people in Israel, when Amos said, and Isaiah said, if we would look to Isaiah, he said the same things. Repent and come back to God. We have a choice when tragedy hits. We can shake our fist at God and say, "I'm done with you." That's not going to change anything. We can get harder in our hearts and let the enemy carry us away from the loving arms of the Master. Or we can get on our knees before God and cry out to Him in desperation and surrender and invite Christ to take over. If we never have for the first time, and if we have before, take over all over again. I'm not saying these hurricanes are from God, but I am saying He has tried to get our attention a whole bunch of times. Are you hearing me? As individuals, as families, as churches, as a nation, God loves you too much to let you go apart from Him. And He will allow things and sometimes stir up and cause things to bring us back. That's the grace of God. Loving you, loving me, loving America too much to let us flounder and go in our sin. He will send us warning signs, attention getters. What you do with it is up to you. But I advise, surrender to Him and trust Him completely. Praise team, will you come? We're going to sing this last song together. And I want to invite you to come and pray at the altar if you want. Or if you want me to pray for you in some circumstances you're going through or whatever, be glad to do that. But I would humbly suggest, as people of Jesus, that we cry out to God in repentance on behalf of this nation and say, Father, I hear you. What is it you want from me, from us? He'll tries to get our attention about so many times, and then there's a lot more to that story. But the Assyrians came 39 years later and wiped out most of them, and the rest of them they took into captive as slaves. And so I just want to humbly suggest to us today, friends, to seek the Lord, humble ourselves and pray and repent. Repent on behalf of yourself, your family, the church, me, the city, and the nation. Repent and get right with God. Let's stand and sing this song. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for loving us. Loving us when we haven't been that lovable. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for wake-up calls. May we not be like the Israelites of old that didn't heed the warnings. But may we, Christians in America, be listening to your voice and realize that you love us so much you're not wanting us to keep going in this self-destruct mode. May we cry out to you in humble repentant prayer. As a nation, as churches, as families, as individuals, may we cry out to you in repentance of sin. Humble ourselves before you and avail ourselves to the leading of your Spirit to lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake and not in these paths of destruction and judgment. Forgive us, O God. In America, we've thrown you out of government. We've thrown you out of our schools. We've thrown you out of business. We've thrown you out of the public square. In places, we've even thrown you out of the church. We have set your word on the shelf and said, we don't need it. Forgive us, Father, even in the church. We don't read it. We don't obey it. We don't pray. We don't seek your face like you've called your people to do. Forgive us, Heavenly Father. We've not loved you with all of our heart. We've not loved you with all of our soul. We've not loved our neighbor. We've not been salt. We've not been light. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us in America. Forgive us in the Church of America. Glorify your name here, Lord. Save souls. Set the captives free. Use your church to help people along life's pathway. Help us not to be so full of pride and full of ourselves. Help us be full of you. Forgive us, Father. We need you in America. I need you. Our family needs you. This church, the churches of America, the world, we need you, Lord. Thank you again for loving us so much. You send signs, warning signs. Thank you for loving us so much. You sent Jesus. You sent your Spirit. You gave us your Word. You give us what we need. Help us to stop ignoring it. Repent and come boldly to the throne of grace and experience you anew. Go with us this day, Father, this week, listening to you, looking to you, trusting you, surrendered to you. I pray in the precious name of our Lord. Amen.